So we're looking at the charter here. the theme here is the circumstances surrounding the giving of the law. And how we as a peculiar, and we'll look at the definition of a peculiar people, should live. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that we get out of this message what you want us to get out of. And Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Truly, you are a great God. How great thou art. Please, Lord, help us live as we should. If there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, without certainty that heaven is their home, I pray today would be the day that they would know. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. And in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagles' wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And then Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words unto the people unto the Lord. We see people of the charter here. They were purchased. They were redeemed. They were bought back from Egypt. The Lord saw the sorrows of his people and their burdens that they were under in Egypt. And he redeemed them. He who saved them or delivered them out of Egypt, from the bondage of their labors, from the heavy burden in Egypt that they were burdened with, building the temples and the pyramids and all that kind of stuff. And they were saved under the hope of the Almighty God, which only He can give. And that's much like on us this morning who are not saved. We're under heavy burdens this morning. What the ultimate question is, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what we have to ask ourselves is, what am I going to do with my sin? What am I going to do with this heavy weight that I'm carrying around my whole life? What am I going to do with this conscience that's bothering me when I put my head on the pillow at night? There is a remedy. There is an answer to lift those heavy burdens. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Just like God delivered Israel out of the heavy burden of their labors out of Egypt, God can deliver you this morning from your heavy burden of sin. And God loves us so much that He said it's by faith. Not by going to church. Not by going to Liberty Baptist Church. Not by tithing. Not by being as good as we can be. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting what He did on the cross. His finished work on the cross. The Bible says there is no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Today, if you have that burden of sin, and you have that question, what am I going to do with my sin? You'll be able to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning at the end of the service. So we see the people. We see the people of the charter, of this king or supreme power granting them rights, conferring powers and privileges from a sovereign power. And our God is sovereign. God Almighty is sovereign. He reigns on high and He answers to nobody. Verse 5 of chapter 19. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. The word covenant comes from the word cutting in Hebrew. cutting. And so when people made a covenant or a contract or an agreement with each other, they would take animals, whether it be birds or beasts, and they would cut them in half. And they would lay the two sides on either half, and the two of them say, you know what, I'm going to agree with you. In fact, I'm so interested in keeping my word. I'm serious enough about keeping my word that if I break my if I breach the contract with you, let this happen to me. Get slayed. So innocent blood was shed by these at pieces, cutting, and they made covenant with each other and hold hands and walk in between these pieces. We see that in Genesis chapter 17 with Abraham and God. God walked through the pieces. God's a covenant-keeping God. He knew Abraham and his seed couldn't keep the covenant, but God can keep the covenant. So that's where the word covenant comes from, is the cutting. It's an agreement. It's a contract. And we see this contract or charter between God and his people. Verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." Peculiar. We see the word peculiar in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, speaking to us as believers in the church age here. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Peculiar means a purchased possession with intent. Not only did Jesus Christ purchase us with his blood on Calvary and we're his, but he purchased us. We are a peculiar people. He purchased us with an intent. He purchased us with a will in mind. He purchased us with a desire in mind that we would serve him. He purchased us with his desire that we would use our abilities and gifts that he gave us to serve him, to serve the one and only living King. We are a peculiar people. That's what we're supposed to be. We're purchased. We're a purchased possession of his with intent. The definition of peculiar. And he says, "You'll be a peculiar people unto me if you obey me indeed." Obey my voice indeed. Indeed here means to give particular attention. It's funny, when we're kids, mom's talking to us, we don't pay particular attention. But when dad's talking to us, we pay particular attention because we know we got something coming if we don't. We obey his voice indeed. If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. We cannot do what God intends for us to do if we're not obeying him. We cannot do what we're intended or what God's to do if we're not obeying his voice indeed. We're to be a peculiar people. But sin gets in the way. Our flesh gets in the way. It's so easy to forget what God has for us. It's so easy to forget sometimes that we are purchased with the blood on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because we're sinners. And we need to get back and realize, just like these people, we'll see how these people, Israel, how easy it was for them to get away from God and his covenant with his people. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us," or rescue us from loss, "from all iniquity," that's crookedness, "and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Zealous is to earnestly desire good works. Verse 6, "A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine." Verse 6, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." I often thought, how can we be priests? Especially with the sacrifices they're doing back then with the animals and things, and then the priests today. Priest here is to meditate in a religious service, in a religious way. We're to be priests. We're to have a close relationship with God Almighty. And we allow our close relationship with stuff, close relationship with people and things and individuals to get in the way of being priests of the Most High God. Israel was at one time intimately close to God. Psalm chapter 148, verse 14, Israel, a people near unto Him. We're to meditate and pray. One thing we did at camp was during the invitation at camp, but the church camp, it was last week. And there would be kids, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade kids would go out and talk to counselors about different things that were preached about to get things right and to pray and to counsel. And the rest of the kids are scattered abroad in the seats. And we'd gather the kids close and we would pray and meditate. 4th, 5th, and 6th graders knew by the end of the week how important it was to meditate and have a close relationship with God and to pray, to intercede on behalf of the other kids out there that are having problems. Some of those 3 kids got saved a week before last. A lot of kids came to decisions, hey, I'm not obeying my parents like I should. That's a biggie to some kids who are rebellious with different kinds of home life. Some kids knew they weren't bearing good fruit. These are 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. They got a closer relationship with God than us a lot of times. And we look at 4th, 5th, and 6th graders like they don't know as much as we do, but it doesn't matter. It's right here. It's meditating. It's an intimate relationship with God Almighty. Sometimes I think we've lost it. We get too academically inclined and too logical. And we've lost this, the relationship with a God who loves us and died for us. The people of the charter were purchased. They were a peculiar treasure. They were to be a priesthood kingdom. And they were a purposed people, in verse 8. In other words, they were well-intentioned. And all the people answered together. Remember, verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. Laid their faces before all these words which the Lord commanded him. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. We will do. Chapter 32, verse 1. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. This is what? 13 chapters later. Moses has been up on a hill by Exodus 32 getting the rest of the law. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw Moses delayed to come out on the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and unto him, and said unto him, up, make us gods which will go before us. And as for this Moses, in other words, it's just as for this Moses. This Moses was the Moses that led him through the Red Sea. And now he's just this Moses guy. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. That's his brother. Which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and daughters, and bring them unto me. And the people break off the golden earrings. Verse 4, he received them. Aaron received them with their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool that he had made, a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast to the Lord. Yeah, these golden cows. Tomorrow they're going to make a feast unto the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 7, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. These are the same people that said, all the things the Lord hath commanded, we will do. And 13 chapters later, Verse 9, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They refuse to bow. They refuse to yield unto the Most High God that actually did bring them out of Egypt. And they're making golden calves. And then Aaron, when he's confronted about it, he says, I don't know, Moses. Hey, I threw this in the molten fire, and boom, out come these golden calves. Oh my goodness. Anything to pass the buck. But these were well-intentioned people. These were well-intentioned people, just like the apostles and Jesus Christ when Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they fell asleep while Jesus was praying. And Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. These are the same kind of people like the people we are. We have good intentions. We are well-intentioned, especially when we first get saved. We have good intentions and well intentions when we come up to the altar and pray. And we're on fire for God. Or something tragic happens in our lives and God delivers us. And we say, oh God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. We have good intentions, but the flesh is weak. It's easy to point fingers at Israelites and the golden calves. But we're cut from the same cloth. We still got this flesh. We still got the carnal nature that wants to sin, that turns our back on God day after day, that grows cold under the things of the Lord. We are a stiff-necked people. We have better things to do. We have more important things to do. We can put God on the back burner because the flesh is weak. These are the people of the charter. Verse 4 of chapter 19 of Exodus. Verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, this shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. In other words, swiftly. He took them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and heading to the Promised Land now. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, a God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Verse 21 of Exodus 3, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass. Not it might come to pass, or could come to pass. It shall come to pass. When ye go, ye shall not go empty. This is the God of the charter. This is the God of the charter who said, the people have seen what I've done. This is the God of this charter is one who pronounced and performed those things and those plagues on Egypt, yet not touched the land of Goshen where his people lived. The God of this charter is the one who led Israel with a pillar of cloud by night and light by day. This is the God of the charter who opened the sea, and Moses stood up in front of the people with his staff and said, see the salvation of the Lord. And the sea split wide open. This is the God of this charter that granted rights and privileges unto his children Israel, that they be a peculiar people, purchased with intent. The God of this charter is the same one who made this bitter water sweet. The God of this charter is the same God who brought water from a rock. The God of this charter is the one who delivered his people from hostile armies. The God of this charter is the one who, even after moaning and groaning and complaining and wanting to go back, he's the God of this charter, still provided manna and quail, because he is an all-merciful God. The God of this charter is the same God who says, "Thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is the God of this charter, the merciful covenant-keeping God. The God of this charter is the great I Am. The God of this charter, who did all these things, calls me friend. The God of this charter loved me enough to die on a cross for my sins. That's the God of this charter. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether or lower part of Sinai, of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, can you just imagine what's going on? God's coming down to Mount Sinai to give this people a charter, a covenant. And the Lord came down on the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, verse 20. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. What's the substance of this charter? The substance of this charter is basically the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Boy, they went back on that one in just 12 chapters now. But how many times we have molten images? We buy molten images. Then we got to pay taxes on molten images. And then we got to fix molten images. And then we're obligated to use molten images because we paid for them. And then we got to store molten images. And there is nothing wrong with things that we acquire so that they can be a blessing to us in life. God gives us the desires of our heart. But if those molten images take precedence or come between us and God, they become what they are, molten images, idols. And when we put them before God, that's when we get into trouble. Verse 7 of chapter 20, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is Saturday. We worship on Sunday. Why? Because in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13 and 17, it says that the Sabbath day is a sign between God and Israel. We're not in Israel. I'm not an Israelite. That was a sign between him and Israel. And then in the book of Acts, they worshiped on the first day of the week, which is the Lord's day. And they broke bread, and Paul preached unto the people. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Verse 15, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet his wife, maidservant or manservant. Jealousy, envy. What is the reason for this charter? A lot of people, including me, at one time, thought that the reason for the Ten Commandments was that if I can keep the Ten Commandments, then I'm somebody. If I can keep the Ten Commandments and not disobey the Ten Commandments, then I'm good enough to go to heaven. That's what I thought at one time. What is the reason for this charter, the reason for these commandments? Let's look at verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Don't be scared. Don't be a scared here. For God has come to prove you, to test you. This was merely a test. This was a test, more or less, to show these people they were set up to fail. There's none of us that can keep the Ten Commandments. I remember when I was a little kid, we stole grapes from the old Safeway over by Tower Meats. The old Safeway. We stole some grapes. And we were maybe about that high. And we stole some grapes. And my mom caught us eating. She said, where'd you get those grapes? Oh, we took them. Oh, man, was my mom mad. She grabbed us by, you ever seen a turkey peeking over a log? You did that day because she grabbed us by the short hair and we're peeking over a log like a turkey. And she brought us to the lady behind the counter and we had to apologize and give them some money for the grapes that we stole. Every one of us has broken the Ten Commandments. But they weren't there to keep to get into heaven. The Ten Commandments are there to prove us. To prove the children of Israel how much they needed God. To prove, to test the children of Israel so that they could see their need of a Savior. Their need of a sacrificial system that was soon to put in place to cover their sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified or declared innocent by faith. This charter, these Ten Commandments, were put here to show us that we can't do it, to show us we can't live the righteous life, to show us that we are not holy, to show us that we truly are what the Bible says, sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 20 of chapter 20, for Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. In other words, the fear here is that a reverence, an honor, that we honor God because we know we can't do it. And we know His standards are so high that we need to honor and glorify Him because He's the only one that can keep those standards. And when God was manifest or made evident in the flesh and came down to earth as a man, He kept those commandments. He kept the whole law. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet sinned not. But He's the one who went to the cross. So not only was this here, there's the law put in place to prove or to test, but then later on the law was for provision. God provided a sacrificial system. The sacrificial system, the lot of the book of Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, hundreds of laws. But within this law was once again the sacrificial system, which more or less was different animals were provided for different sins, for different offerings. And these animals never sin. They don't have the ability to sin. They cannot reason. But their blood was shed. Innocent blood shed for the uninnocent. Guiltless blood shed for the guilty. That's why the law was put into place. That's why this charter was put into place, to prove or to test, to show us that we're unable. And then to provide a sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never... Hello, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect or complete. Can never with these sacrifices. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged or purified should have no more conscience of sins. They couldn't, because these sacrifices didn't take away sins. They covered sins. And every year the priest would go in at the annual Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the whole nation and apply that blood before the mercy seat. But it had to be renewed every year. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 10, but those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Just like it's not possible that us and our good works can take away sins. It's not possible. Once again, we can't do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, that's Jesus Christ. He taketh away the first. What did he take away? He removed the first covenant. The first agreement here regarding the law. He took that away and established the second. Matthew chapter 26, the new and everlasting covenant. It's everlasting. There's not going to be another covenant. Why? Because this is everlasting. It is forever, just like everlasting life is forever. It's an eternal covenant. It's forever. And Jesus Christ established that with His own blood. For by the which we are all sanctified, or set aside, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Not every year. Not every week doing something. But once the blood was offered on the cross of Calvary for all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices. These same sacrifices is which can never take away sins. Never. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We've looked at the people of the charter. We've looked at the God of the charter and the substance of the charter. If here this morning, and you know Christ is your Savior, and you can look to a point in time where you said, I cried out unto God, knowing that I was a sinner, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and take me to, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, then you're what the Bible calls saved, or a believer in Christ, delivered from sin, but we're to be a peculiar people. If we're believers in Christ, we're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're a purchased possession. We're His. When did we cease in our mind being His and being our own? Like the sign says, He died for you, will you live for Him? When did we decide we're going to live a life that I want to live? And I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but by golly, I want to do the things I want to do. When was that time in our life? Well, we've ceased becoming a peculiar people then. Because we're not living with His intention in our life. We're living with my intention in life. If you're here this morning and you're not a peculiar person as far as living with the intention God intended for you to live, then we need to get it right and ask God to give us back what we had. I guarantee you this, in my life, when I'm living for me, my life, I'm not at peace. I'm just not at peace. I might have some more added fun here and there, but I'm not at peace. I'm not where I should be. I'm convicted I put my head on the pillow at night and my conscience gets the best of me. Praise God, I'm bothered. Praise God that the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you know what, you're living for yourself and not for the living for the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased you with His own blood. If we're saved this morning, we need to be a peculiar people. For those of us who in here this morning who maybe have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, today could be the day. It will be the day if you step forward and ask someone to show you in the Bible, how can I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? How can I know that I can get rid of the burden of sin? The Bible says these things were written that you may know you have eternal life. Not hope or think or might or maybe, that you may know you have eternal life. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Realizing that we're sinners, the Bible's true, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's by faith. For by grace you are saved or delivered from sin through faith, by grace and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, like those people in Egypt that God rescued. You can be rescued this morning from that heavy burden of sin. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your souls. We're going to have an invitation. And once again, if we're saved and we're not being a peculiar people that we should, boy, this morning would be a great morning to get it right, to live with intention and purpose for what God wills in our life. If you're not saved here this morning, you can get saved. You can get born again and have eternal life. 383. Have to live as an unpeculiar people. Saved, Jesus Christ will meet you any place, anytime, anywhere. He is omnipresent. You can call out on Him. If you need to talk to someone, give me a shout. Leave a message on the phone or the cell phone or tap me on the shoulder or somebody. Tap somebody on the shoulder. Say, you know what, I need to get it settled. I want to know for sure that heaven's my home. Brother Charles Pierce, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen. There's a whole different message tonight. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night messages are completely different messages. So I just want to remind everyone of that. And I guess we're good to go. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.